Charles didn't have just any coronary artery disease. He had Charles's coronary artery disease. Michelle didn't have just any heart attack. She had Michelle's heart attack. At VCU Health Poly Heart Center, we know every heart is unique. And as Virginia's only nationally ranked heart program, we'll keep them beating healthy and strong. VCU Health Poly Heart Center. Learn more at vcuhealth.org/heart.
Vivek Ramaswamy is an entrepreneur, a political commentator, and the best-selling author with a new book called Nation of Victims, Identity Politics, The Death of Merit, and The Path Back to Excellence. Vivek, great to have you with us, sir.
Hey, good to be back.
What do you make
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Vivek. What do you make of all these American companies who are cutting ties with Russia but are staying silent on China?
Look, I think that it comes down to one factor, money. And it's actually just that obvious. The Russian market is not a major opportunity if you're Apple or if you're Disney or if you're Netflix. But the Chinese market for many of these companies is, and that makes all the difference in the world, where actually it's one step worse, Vince, than you might expect. It's not just that they are bailing on the small market opportunity but holding on when the financial cost is too great to let go. They're actually using one to gain cover for the other, because eventually this is going to come to a head in China, where people are going to ask the question of how you're managing to do business in a country that's committing genocide, that has people in concentration camps, that has people, you know, ultimately subject to forced sterilization, communist indoctrination, and worse. And yet what they're going to say is that actually we're going to deter that set of questions coming up because you've already seen us make these dramatic gestures with respect to the Russian regime. So this is a classic woke capitalist move. You preempt the questions you might get in a difficult situation to take advantage of the easy situation to signal your virtue first. But that brings me to the major problem with virtue signaling in corporate America, is that at some point, signaling your virtue becomes more important than actually being virtuous itself. And that's where we find ourselves today.
Yeah, I mean, this is so by sacrificing the smaller Russian market, this is actually an investment in their long-term success. They think that they will benefit, and they're likely, and it's likely true, actually, based on your assessment, Vivek, they will benefit financially from saying at this moment, yep, we're out of Russia, and this will allow them to paper over whatever sins they're looking the other way on in China, and simultaneously, you know, play to an audience here in the United States that feels very good when they see these corporate virtue signals about purchasing those products.
That's exactly right. And this is the same analogy I've drawn before, even before this Russian conflict, is that the difference between the great power struggle between the U.S. and the USSR and the U.S. and China today and the CCP is that there wasn't a major American company that would come out on the side of the USSR in the old Cold War. And we're not seeing that. We're not seeing a major company come out on the side of the new Russia now either. But every one of the companies that needs access to the Chinese market understands that if you criticize the CCP, they will build a great wall that keeps you out of their market. But if you criticize the United States, they will roll out the red carpet. That is what Airbnb is doing. Let's look at the reported Wall Street Journal reporting, something I refer to in my book as well, Woke Inc. That was my last book, where actually Airbnb, as a condition for doing business in China, has to hand over user data of its American users as a condition for doing business in China. Yet they don't criticize actual human rights atrocities in China, even while they post a neat little black square or whatever they do on Instagram to ultimately demonstrate solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, effectively underwriting China's claims that the U.S. is a racist nation and that China wants to see the U.S. stop slaughtering Black Americans. That's what China says today. That would be a laughable statement for China to make if it weren't for the fact that companies like Airbnb create a false moral equivalence between microaggressions in the United States, maybe even non-existent ones, with actual macroaggressions committed in places like the Xinjiang province of China.
Yes.
And by the way, handing over American user data as another condition to be able to do business there. That is how this enemy defeats us, Vince. Americans need to understand the Trojan War wasn't won because Greece defeated Troy from the outside militarily. China will never defeat the United States from the outside militarily. They have used the Trojan horse of global capitalism, the horse that they knew we could not resist, as a way to weaken and erode the United States by using our companies as Trojan horses to do it from within. That's what's happening.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this. What do you think of TikTok, the social media company that was created by China that American children are using everywhere?
Yeah, I don't have a particularly differentiated view, to be honest with you, on TikTok, in the sense that I don't love social media generally,
yeah.
especially its utilization in children. The thing I like least about TikTok is that actually it is effectively targeted for use in children. And so, yeah, I know there's this China dimension to it, but that's going to be a very fact-specific assessment, and very few people have the facts on what the Chinese connection there is. I will just use it as a chance to say separately, though, I think that if we've had a conversation in this country to say that you can't use social media, if you can't use cigarettes before the age of 18 because they're addictive, I think we ought to have a conversation about whether kids should be using addictive social media products at all. And I think that that's extra topical for a social media product like TikTok that's targeted towards children.
It turns out there are costs to letting strangers raise your children online. You know, it's not exactly the best move. I want to go back to the comparisons between China and Russia for a moment in these major American corporations. Apple reported $25 billion in revenue from the greater China region in just the first quarter of this year, 2022. By comparison, Apple will lose roughly just 1% of its global revenue by exiting Russia. So just looking at the comparisons here, it's a very clear thing what they should do. Scrap Russia and use that to protect their China market share.
It's buying social insurance. That's exactly it. You got to pay something for an insurance policy. They paid the insurance. Sacrifice the Russian market because it's cheap insurance to be able to make sure that you don't actually forego the real thing by having already signaled enough virtue to deter scrutiny for why they're actually staying in China. That's what's going on.
There was a Shell, which of course provides most of the oil to Europe. It's Europe's largest oil company. There's a version of Shell in the United States, a subsidiary called Shell Oil. Shell announced over the weekend that it will continue to buy Russian crude oil to put into its refineries and supply customers with gasoline and diesel, but they're going to donate any profits that they get from the Russian oil to the people of Ukraine. This is an amazing thing. So they're going to be putting vast quantities of money into Russia and then a little bit of money, their profit margin, into the people of Ukraine. They want it both ways here. This is an amazing stunt, Vivek.
It's the woke industrial complex at its finest. I'm laughing. That's a classic example, classic jujitsu move. And, you know, the reality is actually, this is a separate question of another strand of the neo-progressive movement is actually the so-called ESG movement, which is something that I think every American deserves to know about, is the ESG movement and its largest proponents, including the largest asset managers in the world, like BlackRock, where their own money is invested today. Most Americans' money, indirectly or indirectly, I believe, finds its way to BlackRock.
Yeah.
Yet, you know what happens is that they effectively demand, by showing up in the boardroom, because they own shares on behalf of Americans, to show up in the headquarters, effectively, of the boardrooms of companies like Exxon, or have directors that they vote for that show up in Exxon to say that you want to cut production here in the United States. But ultimately, that actually makes us more reliant on places like Russia to create the very dynamic you're talking about.
Vivek, would you break this down a little bit more? Not quite as much as Kamala Harris trying to explain two countries and their border, but would you break down ESG, environmental, social, and governance?
Yeah.
What does that mean in terms of the way that you've got, like, BlackRock going in? They own so much of all of these American companies, and they're saying, look, ESG, that is an essential part of the way you run your business. What should that mean to us?
What it means is they are using the private sector to effectuate a left-wing social agenda that they could not directly effectuate through Congress. And they tend to come in three-letter acronyms: ESG, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, CSR, corporate social responsibility. They're three-letter acronyms, word salads, that are designed to hide the essence of what is going on, which is using corporate power to get done through the back door what could not get done through the front door in our political process. And there's a scam underlying it. I think it is the defining scam of our time, where you have actually the three largest asset managers in this country, State Street, Vanguard, and the king of them all, BlackRock, who together manage today over $20 trillion. That's more than the GDP of the United States, by the way, who are aggregating the money of everyday pensioners and retirees, et cetera. But using that to then throw their weight around in corporate America, saying you need these racial quota systems on your boards, you need to cut oil production, you need to reduce your carbon emissions, agendas that would make the blood of those retirees boil if they knew what was exactly going on, using somebody else's money to advance a political agenda that they disagree with. And here's the kicker, back to the original topic we were talking about. They apply that to the U.S. companies, but they don't apply it to the Chinese companies. So in the United States, they preach ESG. In China, they supplicate to the CCP. As I say, this is sort of the motto of companies like BlackRock around the world, ESG for thee, China for me. That's the way this game is played.
Okay, so if you get a couple of major investment firms, State Street, Vanguard, BlackRock, and they control the political behavior of the lion's share of all American corporations. I see this weekend in the Wall Street Journal, the Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich says, guys, this is an antitrust violation. This is an explicit violation of the consolidation of all of this corporate power for one agenda. Do you think that's a good way to view this, Vivek?
I think it's actually a good way to view this. I actually tweeted about this, saying that I read that article. It is the plainest legal argument hiding in plain sight. I was frankly embarrassed that of all the legal arguments I made in Woke Inc., I actually missed this one. But this is staring us in the face, where you have, and congratulations to Mark Brnovich, who's the Attorney General of Arizona, for spotting it. You have a coordinated effort between the most powerful financial institutions and money managers to decide to lend or invest in certain projects but not others in ways that are raising prices for consumer goods of Americans. That is not the free market in action. It's even worse than a monopoly or an ideological cartel. They're working hand in glove with the party in power to be able to do their bidding through the private sector. If you couldn't get the Green New Deal through Congress, guess what John Kerry is doing? He's getting every major banking CEO to sign the so-called climate pledge, which, by the way, is not only an antitrust violation, though I think it's that too, but it is also a form of crony capitalism, because I will tell you, you know as well as I, banks are not charitable institutions. The question is, what are they getting in return for signing that climate pledge?
Yes. Or what
this is the crony capitalism of our moment. And I just think that, you know what, Vince, if I may say, I think the way in which the critical race theory issue was a mobilizing issue for Republicans in 2021, I think this issue relating to ESG and the abuse of their money to effectuate a political agenda back against them should be probably a defining issue of 2022 and 2023. Don't mess with my kids came first. Don't mess with my money, I think, comes second. And I don't think the conservative base in this country has quite woken up to that yet. But, you know, I think that those of us here who have spotted these issues as actually where the rubber really
yes.
hits the road in terms of what affects our culture need to be speaking up more.
Okay,
about.
So how does that manifest itself? I know we're short on time now, but you've got me, my curiosity piqued. Do we like basically band together, like basically anyone who has money that's exposed to these companies, do you band together and say, okay, look, we're going to act as a unified group of owners. We're gonna organize, and we will be activist investors using the strength of our overwhelming market power here to compel you to behave and to knock it off with these liberal politics.
Yeah, I think that's basically what it entails, but it's going to require actors in both the public and private sector to do it. I think it's going to require brave private sector entrepreneurs to be able to step up and say that, you know what, we're going to stand up to this ideological cartel and break it up through yeah. competition and through true diversity in the marketplace of ideas. But the way the financial system is set up is that you have these 401k accounts and these
yep.
pension funds, et cetera, that are run by the managerial class, in many cases in states and treasurers. And the problem with members of the managerial class is they have no incentive to make a change from the status quo, because if anything goes wrong, they're ultimately blamed for it. So what we actually need is a political movement that tells these political leaders, start with the Republican states and the red states. Many of them are actually too complacent with this, to say that, you know what, it is not your money that you're investing. It is not BlackRock's money that you're investing. It is my money. It is my savings. And to have that weaponized back against me is not just a form of financial fraud. It is a form of ideological fraud. It is a fraud on my identity. And I will stand up to make sure that my life earnings and savings are not used to create a culture for my children that I fundamentally object to. That's, I think, going to be the uprising, but it's a kind of complicated issue. So you got to be able to explain it to people. But once it's explained, and I can tell you, you know, I mean, I spoke at CPAC recently, and I've had some experience in sort of watching people's ability to understand this issue. There is nothing going to be more motivating to people
yeah.
than to actually have the ability to drive that change by redirecting their dollars and telling their political officials that they've had enough of them if they don't actually join them in ultimately redirecting their dollars with them.
All right. Vivek Ramaswamy, entrepreneur, political commentator, and the author of the great book Nation of Victims, Identity Politics, The Death of Merit, and The Path Back to Excellence. In addition to that great book, Woke Inc., the books are just as stimulating as these conversations. Vivek, great to talk to you as always, sir.